WCNO, Palm City.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Pastor Richard Pope with my wife, Pastor Lucy Pope, from the Word of Truth International Ministries Incorporated. We're so grateful that you decided to join us today, and we know the Lord has a blessing just for you. But ain't no power stronger than the one that came
and laid down his life, and I got mountains to climb. Greetings. It's just good to be here this morning. Thank you, God, for another day. It's just wonderful to be alive and to be in the number. There's a lot of folk, if we call on them this morning, they wouldn't be able to answer us because they're going on to glory. But we just thank God that we have another opportunity to say, Lord, I was wrong. Please forgive me. Another opportunity to tell someone that I love you. I don't say it enough, but I do love you, and I'm praying for you. Another opportunity to repent for our sins. Another opportunity to forgive someone who we've been holding that unforgiveness for years, and we can let it go this morning. Let it go, because it's only building bitterness in you, and you can't be forgiven if you don't forgive. So I don't know why the Holy Spirit took me there this morning, but this is a big issue in our world today, and not with just unbelievers, but with believers, with the body of Christ, the kingdom of God. We hold grudges, and we're walking around with all this extra baggage that we were never designed to carry. We got to get rid of all that trash, all that junk. So what if they said something that you didn't like? So what if they did something that you didn't like? It didn't kill you. You're still here. If you're under the sound of my voice, if you can hear me this morning, you're still here. You survived it. So it should make you stronger and make you better. Don't let it make you bitter. Because guess what? They're probably going on about their business. They may be in the grave. Or they may be, they don't even realize that you're still holding on to it. They're living their lives, and you're still holding on to something they did years ago. And let it go. Let it go. Because the Bible says if we don't forgive, God is not going to forgive. And we can't, I know I can't afford that charge. I need God to forgive me because I'm not perfect, and I mess up. And I have to repent daily. I have to repent daily. I have to pick up my cross, daily. Because there's something that didn't line up with the word. And so we just have to be mindful of that. Because I don't want that to be in my charge that I've been holding something for all this time. And Lord can't forgive me for my sins and the things that I've did, my shortcomings. Because the Bible say that all have sinned. And we've all sinned and come short of his glory. So we've all missed the mark somewhere along the line. A lot of us still missing the mark. I know I am. I'm a work in progress. Please pray for me. God is still working on me. I know this, and I got enough sense to realize it and to admit that I need Jesus. I need his Holy Spirit leading me and guiding me and teaching me how to love and teaching me how to forgive. And just equipping me to help equip the saints, because we need to tell folk about Jesus. Time is winding up, and we don't have the time we think we have. So if you're trying to get yourself together before you come to Jesus, don't do that. It's not going to work, because if you could get yourself right, you already have it done. Jesus is the only one that can get us right. He's the only one that can get us in right standing with the Father. He's the only one that can reconcile us, reconcile us back into the body, back into the family. He's the only one. We are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Outside of him, we can't be right. We can't get right. We can't do right. We ain't gonna be right without Jesus. So quit trying to get yourself right. You can't do it. Just come just as you are. Lay it all at the altar and surrender all to him. And he will take care of you. He will get you and clean you up and pick you up and dust you off. He will save you from yourself. Because he pulled us up out of the muck and the miry clay. That muck and the miry, that miry clay, that clay, that's what we're made out of, the dirt. So he saved us from ourselves. So we need a Savior. We need him. Let us go before the throne of grace. Most gracious and eternal Father, we come before you humbly as we know how, Lord God. We come just to say thank you. Thank you for another day, Lord God. Thank you for a day that we've never seen before, a day that we will never see again. But we're so gracious and so thankful that you've allowed our golden moments to roll on a little while longer, another opportunity to make right what we got wrong. We thank you this morning, Lord God, for your grace and your mercy, your tender mercies like the morning dew on the grass. Oh, Lord, we thank you that it's new every morning, because I may have used up yesterday's grace and mercy, but we thank you for new mercies every morning, Lord God, because Lord knows we need them. Lord, we just thank you right now for all this under the sound of my voice. Lord God, touch every soul, touch every spirit, touch everybody. Lord, you know what we stand in need of before we even ask. Lord, but we invoke you to come in, Lord. We invite you in. We don't want to do nothing without your spirit, Lord God. We can do nothing without your spirit. And we realize that we need you, Jesus. Come in right now, Lord God. Come into our hearts. Speak to our hearts, Lord God. We bind the hand of the enemy that would try to steal the word before it's able to fall on the fertile soils of the cultivated soils of the hearts of your people, Lord Jesus, and to germinate and bear much fruit. As that seed germinates, it comes to life, Lord God. It sprouts forth fruit, Lord God, leaves and fruit. Lord, we just thank you right now for your word. We thank you that we can do nothing without your word. It's our instruction while we're here, Lord God, of what we need to do. It's our constitution. Lord, we just thank you right now. And we magnify you, Lord. Touch all those that are on their bed of affliction, Lord. Pour out your healing virtue right now, Lord Jesus. From the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. Isaiah 53:5 said that you were wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon you. Lord God, with your stripes, Jesus, we are already healed, and we stand on that this morning. We stand on total healing right now. In the name of our bodies are made whole and cured from the crown of our head to the soul. All who are under the sound of my voice who are afflicted with spirits of infirmity, we curse it to the root right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you right now for being that bridge over troubled water for someone, Lord God. Oh, Father God, we thank you for being our lawyer in the courtroom, Lord Jesus, our doctor in the sick room in the hospital, Lord God. We know that you've never lost a case and you've never lost a patient. Lord God, we come trusting in you right now, depending on you. This system all around us is failing. But, Lord, we know that you will never fail. Only what we do for Christ will last. Lord, we come this morning just to acknowledge that you are Christ. You are the Lord of our life. You are our Savior, Lord Jesus, and we can do nothing without your spirit. Lord, we need you. In times like these, we need our Savior. We need you, Lord, even more than ever. Lord, just come into our hearts right now. Come into our lives, Lord. We surrender all to you. Lord God, bless everyone under the sound of my voice. Lord God, bless the owners of this radio station, the technician, the men and women of God who come in and make it happen, Lord God, that the word goes out over the airwaves, that your gospel is being preached, teached, ministered, Lord God, that your songs, your hymns are being lined over the airwaves, Lord God, giving you a glory, God. We're making a joyful noise, Lord God. Bless them. Continue to anoint the men and women of God who preach, teach, and minister, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Give them strength, Lord God. Touch all the bereaved families on this morning. Give them peace and comfort, Lord God. Somebody laid someone to rest. Somebody's getting ready to lay somebody to rest. Lord God, bless them, Father. Give them peace and comfort. Let them know that if they died in you, Lord Jesus, they are with you. That there's no ifs, ands, buts about it. But Lord, just let them know that they need to tell everybody else that Jesus is the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. Don't let them close their eyes, Lord, without being heard this gospel and having a chance to receive you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Oh, we just thank God. Thank God for this word. This morning, we're looking at Romans 10, and we're looking at verse 16 and 17. And Paul is quoting from Isaiah, and it reads as thus. I'm reading King James Version, and it reads as thus. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah, it's really Isaiah, saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen? Amen. So Paul now comes to the crux of this argument concerning human responsibility and the righteousness of God. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. And this is what Isaiah said. They have not all obeyed. And he said this. This is recorded in Isaiah 53:1. They have not all obeyed. They've heard it, but they have not all obeyed it. In other words, they have not received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They have not all heard. They rejected him. They rejected him. Who hath believed our report? Whose report will you believe? Will you believe the report of the Lord? Or will you believe the report of this world, the world system, and what's going on around us, what we hear and what we see? The Lord said that we are set free. We are healed. We are delivered. He is our Jehovah Jireh. He has already provided everything we need. This is the Lord's report for all those that believe, all those that have received and that are born again. But if you are not born again, and we've seen that in the verses before, how can they believe on someone who they've not received? Huh? And how can they believe and receive without a preacher? And how can we preach unless we be sent? But before that, in verse 8, it talks about the word is nigh. So that you've heard the word. The word is in your mouth. It's even in your heart. But do you believe it? Have you received it? Has it got down in the repositories of your heart? And when I speak of the heart, I'm talking about your spirit, man. Because this is spiritual food, the word of God, the report, the message, the gospel. It saves the soul. It's able to save the engrafted soul of man. The engrafted word of God is able to save the man's soul. I mean, this word is powerful. It's Jesus. It is spirit and it is life. It is alive. This word, will you receive it? Do you believe it? Or will you reject it? And that's what Isaiah was saying to the Jews, and Paul is just reiterating it. He's reiterating it. To the Romans, and he's saying, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. You've heard the gospel. You've heard it. It's even in your mouth. It's even in your heart. But are you living it? Are you sharing the gospel? Does your lifestyle line up with what the word of God has said? That's how we know. We can go through the motions. We can go to Bible study, and we can go to Sunday morning service, and we go to Sunday evening service, and we can do conferences, and we can do vacation Bible school, and we can do all this stuff. We can go to seminary, or we can do all that, Bible college. We can do, but do you believe what you're reading, what you should be meditating on? Do you believe it? Have you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Or do you get behind that pulpit and preach on Sunday mornings and you don't even believe it yourself? You have doubt. You have anxiety. You have fears. And don't get me wrong. We all are afraid of something. But one thing about it is we have to walk by faith. We have to walk by faith. If the word said it and we are followers, we are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are followers of the way. Huh? We are Christians. Christ-like. We must believe it ourselves. How can we tell someone else? How can we witness to someone else and tell them about Jesus and his goodness and his saving grace and all of this salvation and eternity with God. How can we do that if we don't believe it ourselves? If we not receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior? If we just going through the motions, we're reading the words, but we haven't believed it, we haven't received it, and we're not living it. Because this is our instruction. This is how we live. If it don't line up with the word, then we need to check ourselves. We're governed by this word. If you are born again believer. So this is what Paul is reiterating. He getting to the crust of it. This is where the rubber meet the road. Huh? He claims that God takes the responsibility for the Jews, for the Jewish unbelief, and places it squarely upon the shoulders of the Jews. He's letting them know that, look, the responsibility for you to believe is squarely on your shoulders. You have a choice to make. No one. That's why God gives us free will. Huh? He don't force us to do anything. He presents it to us. It's up to us to receive it. He makes sure the gospel is preached by his vessels that he called, he ordained, he appointed, he anointed. He uses these vessels all the way from the ones who have titles to the ones who are just laymen. We all have an assignment. There's souls that need to hear about Jesus. There's souls that need to be saved. We can't save them, but we're vessels that God uses through his leading of his Holy Spirit and discernment and the anointing and the gifts that he places in our lives, the fruit of the Spirit. We have to be able to love them and have peace with that in order to share the gospel. Because if we don't, we won't take the time. We'll just turn our backs on them. But if we love like Christ loved, unconditionally, that agape love, we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And our neighbor's just not the guy in the same zip code, in the same area, the community, the neighborhood with you. The one you can reach out and holler and he come out the door. No, that's not what it's saying about your neighbor. Your neighbor's anyone you come in contact with across the globe. That's your neighbor. And we have the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. It's a world out there that needs to hear about Jesus. They're hurting. They're sick. A lot of them are committing suicide. They've given up. But there is hope in Jesus. There is resurrection power in this word, in the gospel. And we need to tell them. We need to share the gospel with them so they can be saved. Because there is an assignment on each of our lives to tell someone. We have to tell someone. Some of us have more than one person to tell. But if we don't do what God has called us to do, if we don't share, and the Holy Spirit will give you that unction. You will get the unction, and he will give you the words to say. Your scriptures will come to you, and you thought you didn't never remember them. They'll come to you. When you open your mouth and speak, God will put the words in your mouth through the leading of the Holy Spirit. And he'll give you the words to say to him. And you're planting seeds. These are seeds that you're planting. And some may plant seeds, some may water, some may pull the weeds from around it, cultivating it. But only God brings the increase. In his time, in his Kairos moment, God's appointed time, he will bring fruit. He will bring fruit. It will mature. It will come to maturation, spiritual maturity. That seed will germinate and come to life and bear fruit. And when I say bear fruit, that seed that you planted in that person, and they will start to tell someone about Christ. They will start to grow. They will start to study and show themselves approved, a work with not being ashamed, but studying this word, meditating on who Jesus is. This is who Jesus is, the word. So if we're going to have a relationship with him, if we're going to be able to commune with the Holy Spirit and spend time with him in prayer and just fellowship and just listening to what God, because we'll get down there and pray if we still get down there. And you don't have to get down there. You can pray sitting driving down the road or sitting in a chair on the sofa. You can pray sitting on the side of your bed. But you have to give the Lord time to speak. Because it goes both ways. You're having dialogue. It's not monologue. It don't go one way. You're having dialogue. It goes both ways. So God speaks. But we have to give him time so we can hear what he's saying. And this is all that Paul is reiterating what Isaiah has said to the Jews. They have not all obeyed. You've heard it, but you're not living it. You haven't received it. And who hath believed? He's asking who? Who hath believed the gospel? Who hath believed the report that you've heard? You've heard the report, but who hath believed it? Who? How many sermons have you heard? Did you receive any of the gospel? Huh? Does it show up in your life? Are you telling someone else? You shared it? You can't keep it to yourself. This is good news. How many times Jesus told him, go and tell no one? But this is good news. You got to tell somebody. And we got to share the gospel. So then faith come by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. The word translated report is okoi. Report in the Greek is translated in the same original as hearing. And faith cometh by hearing. You're hearing. What are you hearing? The word. The gospel. That's how your faith is built up. By what you're hearing. And if your ear gates are receiving garbage, then you ain't gonna have no faith because you're not being built up in faith. Faith comes only by hearing, and that's by hearing the word of God. And not only that, it's continuous. You don't hear it once. So this is how you're built up in your most holy faith, because the more I hear the word, the more I'm strengthened and encouraged to share the word, and the more that it resonates with where I'm at and what's going on in my life, and I can stand on the promises of God. I can stand on his word because that word is a firm foundation. It's a firm foundation, and everything else will pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word is going to stand forever. His word is eternity because it is Jesus. Jesus is eternity. There's no beginning. There's no end. And if we are to be Christ-like, we are to be for eternity also. We are to study what eternity looks like. And that is this word. We have to meditate on it day and night and hearing the word of God. And I'm going to tell you something else. You know what's the most powerful voice that you're going to hear speaking the word of God? Is your voice. When you speak the word, even when we pray, when we speak the word, it does something. It invokes the Lord to come in because God loves when we give him his word back. We give him his word. That lets God know that we are in tune with his word, that we are meditating. We know his word. Huh? And it's not just in our mouth. It's not just in our hearts, but we're living it. It becomes part of us. It gets down in our spirit, man, and we become the word. We become like Jesus. That's what it's all about, being conformed to the image of his dear son. So how can we be conformed to the image of his dear son if we don't meditate on the food, the spiritual food that it takes to grow into that tree? This is what we need. We need the spiritual food. So we have to speak the word. We're hearing the word coming from us because we are speaking spirits, just like God spoke everything into existence. But he took the time to form man. The worlds were shaped by the words of God. God shaped the worlds. When we speak, we're shaping our world. What world are we shaping? What are we building up? What we're speaking is shaping our world. So if we speak in the word of God, we're building the kingdom. We're building the kingdom of God. But if we're speaking what the world, the world system, then we're speaking the kingdom of darkness. What are you speaking? What are you hearing? When we speak the word of God, it resonates because we're speaking and we're shaping, we're building up our most holy faith. We're being built up We are living stones. We are living stones being built up. We are jointly fitted together. This is the kingdom. The kingdom is within. We are the kingdom of God. So this is the only Jesus a lot of folk will ever see. So they're looking, they're watching, they're listening. We have to give them Jesus, and we can only do that through the word. We have to give it to them through the word, and it's continuous. We're continually speaking the word. We're continually reading the word, meditating on the word. We're continually hearing the word coming from other sources, from audio Bibles and preachers and teachers and ministers. We're hearing the word. We're constantly hearing the word, but it's nothing like when we speak the word. We speak the word. You can memorize it. You can read it from the pages. But when you speak the word, and it's good to memorize scripture. And all the scripture that I've memorized come from King James. It's just the way it was. It's just the way we were raised. But I love King James, all the thous and those and everything. It's just awesome, you know. But then you get into your Amplified and your Message, and, you know, it gives more modern terms where you can understand better. But the word of God is just awesome. It is alive. It is alive. Sometimes when I'm studying the word, meditating on the word, it's like it comes off the pages. And this is how God speaks to us, through his word. It's not always a man or woman of God that he uses. A lot of times he'll give us a thought. He'll give us an idea through his spirit moving in us. And a lot of times it'll be in the time we spend with him in the word. He will speak to us. It'll be like, oh my God, he's speaking right to me. He's speaking right to me. So faith cometh by hearing continually. Keep hearing. Keep speaking the word. That's how your faith is built up. That's how your faith is built up. And hearing by the word, it has to be the word of God. So tune out all this other stuff. We're going to hear some worldly stuff. But it's up to you to keep it and receive it. I don't receive that. I let it go like a filter. Let it go in and go out. Don't hold on to what is not of God. If it don't line up with the word, don't hold on to it. Let it go. Filter it out. Meditate on this word. Keep studying the word, because faith going to come by hearing the word, by meditating on the word, by studying the word, by eating this word. This is what you eat. Keep it in your mouth. Keep it in your heart. And until next time, keep the faith. We love you. We're praying for you. God bless you. Amen. We pray that the word of truth has touched your heart and mind today. There may be someone under the sound of my voice that has not received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, you know the life I've lived. Forgive me for my sins. I believe you died for my sins and was raised up on the third day. Thank you for saving me. Heaven rejoices over one that comes to repentance and receive Jesus. We encourage you to find a Bible-based church where you can continue to grow in the Word of God. If you would like to sow into this ministry, you can do so by Cash App, and that's $TWOT Ministries. Again, that's $TWOT Ministries, or P.O. Box 8573, Port St. Lucie, Florida 34985. Again, that is P.O. Box 8573, Port St. Lucie, Florida 34985. Until next time, this is Pastor Richard and Lucy Pope. We love you, and we're praying for you. Amen. So I trust the man on time.